Hi, I'm Tammy Greenberg, Senior Vice President for Business Development at the REB. Welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Our latest podcast series comes to you from the 2023 ANA Masters of Marketing Conference, where the marketing and ad community come together with a laser focus on growth. The conference showcased insights, strategies, and campaigns that leading brands have implemented to drive growth by meeting and exceeding their consumers' needs. REB had the opportunity to chat with many attendees about their businesses, their marketing goals, the issues that they're most focused on, and of course, their thoughts about radio. In episode number 16 of Radio on Main Street at the ANA Masters of Marketing, Erica Farber, President and CEO of the REB, chats with Robin Streisand, founder and CEO of both The Mix, which is a strategic creative agency, and its holding company, Titanium Worldwide, which is a collective of independent and minority-owned agencies providing a one-stop shop for brands. Originally created to fill a void around customer service with a bespoke attention to detail, quality, and audience, it's evolved along the marketing and media landscape and grown to the consultative collective that it is today.
I love the names of your agencies.
Me too. Everything with a reason and a purpose. Trust me.
I bet. Well, tell us a little bit more about your companies.
Yes. So The Mix was my baby. I founded it 27 years ago because I saw a gap, because I come from corporate America too. I was on the brand side hiring agencies, and I got that whole what didn't work and what didn't, what did and what didn't. And then I started The Mix really because there was a white space around customer service, this bespoke attention to detail, unlike some of the larger agencies in the world who bring out the A team and then you are delegated the C team. I was not going to have it. I was going to fix that problem. So I left Citibank and went and I started my agency, The Mix. Our real focus was from day one, before anybody was talking about this, quality, customer service, and audience. Audience, Gen X, Y, Z. LGBT, AFAM, Hispanic, Asian, and women. So I was talking about this before anybody knew what DEI meant.
You were way ahead of it.
God bless me. Anyway, it's 27 years later, still solo founder and CEO. We are now WeBank and NGLC certified, so certified minority, women-owned, and LGBT. We are also B Corp certified. So we've done everything we could to kind of continue to evolve and evangelize the conversation today and stay ahead of it. About 10 years ago, I saw that The Mix as a creative agency needed more. It needed digital, it needed social, it needed PR. And I'm competing against these full service integrated holding companies.
Right.
And I thought, how do I solve for this problem? And the truth is The Mix is small. We're only 35 people, but we like it that way. We're all rowers and it keeps the company culture fresh and alive and vibrant. And so it was a huge decision, but we thought if we're gonna get in the game and play against these bigger companies, we'll have to create our own holding company. So we came up with an idea of building Titanium, which is the first ever collective of independent agencies in marketing, media, and comms that have come together to be a one-stop shop for a brand. And what makes it unique is all of the agencies are certified, minority owned and operated. So diversity was our business strategy, and we launched Titanium in 2014. So we are on the map. We won our first AOR in 2019. I mean, like, it has been incredible. And I mean it, like, I couldn't have asked for a better ride up the ladder. And listen, if it was easy, everybody would do it. And this year has been over the top challenging, as it is for all of
everybody,
us.
And
we have to stick together and help each other no matter what the situation, the circumstance, so whether we have the money or we don't have the money. We have to just keep having hope and faith and doing what we can to support each other to get through this time.
But what an interesting partnership. I've never heard of it's almost a cooperative, if you will.
Yes, it is everything. The model was really built to compete against the holding companies,
right,
but in a very entrepreneurial, innovative way that they would never be able to do. So we pride ourselves on being agile and nimble. We're like this. It doesn't take us 2 weeks or 4 weeks to get back with, yes, we're going to respond to an RFP or not. We are the RFP,
sure,
and we are the audience. 9 times out of 10, because of our diverse makeup, we are the audience that they are trying to pursue. It's not like we have to retrofit and bring this person in or that person in. We are the multicultural world that all brands want to connect with in this day and age.
That's fantastic. What a great organization. I'm excited about it. You know, you talk about this is a unique year. What are some of the key challenges that you're faced with, and how do you plan for the future?
Yeah. So I'd say for us, our number one challenge, having nothing to do with us, has been 6 of our largest clients have either gotten let go from their job or their departments or areas, and we're talking high up in marketing.
Right.
Their areas or departments have gotten eliminated. And all of a sudden, my scopes of work are tied into those 6 people.
Those
and
individuals.
I'm like, oh my God. And I have account teams that are built out. They were all a part of my 23 plan, signed, sealed, delivered. And now, because of the world that we live in, it was as surprising to them as it was to us. But let me be clear that revenue that was tied to those individuals, gone.
Immediately.
And I'm like, the whole first quarter, I'm like, oh my God, I was coming into 23, like we were ready, raring, and like, let's go. And so we have not caught up yet. I've had to let half of over the couple of years, right during COVID, we scaled the team up to about 65 people. We added more agencies into the Titanium roster because we had such momentum, and yes, we did ride the wave.
Right.
But we had 65 people. Now I had to let 30 people go. And you know, like my agency and my company, they're my family. Like they're my kids, they're my cousins, they're my friends. And like as a founder, it's that much more difficult. It's not like a typical CEO who runs a business that doesn't really even know who the people are. These are the people. We're in the boat every day rowing. We're in there helping each other.
Living, breathing.
Yes. Yes.
Entity.
Yes. And so it has been an incredible year. That said, we've now rebuilt the pipe for 24, and we are just looking towards this finish line. All we care about right now is just breaking even. That's what we are looking to do. And pray to God we get there. But no matter what, 24 looks a lot brighter.
Well, I have no doubt with your enthusiasm and energy, you're going to make it happen.
I sure hope so.
You know, you remind me, because I've seen some of these figures, that the average CMO at these brands is maybe 2 years.
If that.
And, you know, it's very hard to make any kind of effect from a branding and marketing standpoint in that short period of time, because just when you're ready to release something and then they're turning them over.
It's very scary.
It is scary.
And I'll tell you, I always say, like, I really wouldn't want to be me right now, like dealing with these kinds of challenges that are, again, are out of my control. And
sure.
I am so OCD, like I have control over everything, and like to not have that right now. But I wouldn't want to be the CMO right now either. The pressure is so fierce, the skill set, what they need to accomplish inside the changing dynamic of their organization, it's almost impossible. And I mean that out of total respect,
yes,
and admiration for the challenge and the pain that they are under. But we're here to help, right? And so I think, too, like what we're bringing to the table is not just our core services and capabilities, because that's a given, right? But we are now providing more of a consultative, like parachuting in, helping fill out the teams. We are, what's really trending right now is this 10-year cycle of coming, the internal agency being like the priority versus the farming down, because nobody has the resources to manage the external agencies. And so in order to have greater efficiency, you bring it in-house.
Correct.
And I'm seeing that happen, and we're helping stand up these agencies for our clients. And what I love is that we're flexing with what works. We're not trying to stay attached to our offering or what we do or who we are. We are adapting to the world that we live in, and we're trying to be there for clients in a way.
Well, it's very authentic what you're doing.
And it's not a revenue producer, right? It's more like relationships, right? We are and always have been grounded in that as a foundation. And it's out of their control too. And if we could help them, then I believe everybody will stabilize in 24, and we could only hope for good things.
Let's hope for good things, because boy, every turn, whether it's right or left or straight ahead, there's a roadblock no matter where we go in the world today. These are crazy times we're living in.
Oh, amen.
So let's talk a little bit about the audio space, which we're very focused on. How do you view the audio space today?
Yeah, so I would say in my role, I do podcasts all the time. I love this platform. You know, with the way we're working today, people are listening to podcasts and just radio in general in a way that they haven't previously, because we were going to and from work, we were at our desks all day, and now with this hybrid work situation, there is such an opportunity with this platform to get into the hearts and minds. I think what's really important about it is how you target it and how you bring it to people. And you gotta really, it's just like any other marketing strategy, you have to carve out your lane and know who your audience is, so right. A, it's not a one and done, and B, that people want to keep coming back and hearing more. And, you know, I find, like, I have, let's say, three or four regulars that I listen to, but I'm always looking for either the platform or the talk track that relates to where I am and how it could help me. And then on top of that, I care about this platform as a means of getting to my staff, right? Because my staff is really, we're still mostly virtual,
right?
And creating ways in which we engage and come together. And although we do these quarterly retreats, which is all fine and well, it's not like they're learning or being trained in what's happening in the marketing, media, and communication space. So I see this platform is like a lean and mean way to get to their hearts in a way that you've never been able to get them.
So are you using a podcast as a form of direct communication with your team?
Not yet.
Uh-huh. Sounds like you're planning something.
We are. We are working on it. And not only for my creative agency, but for all my other, I have 16 agencies underneath the Titanium umbrella. So our connectivity also, you know, everybody is an independent company, so it's really hard. And we want to keep showcasing and highlighting and lifting people up. And we believe podcasting is the way to do it.
Well, I can't wait to hear what you're going to call that, because you probably already have a name picked out.
We have several, and we're in the midst of hopefully getting to the finalization of it, because every agency has a thought and idea about what this should be called. And I wanted to just, if I may, just talk a little bit about Mix as a brand and Titanium as a brand.
Sure.
Because I think the storytelling component of all of it, regardless of platform or channel, is very, like, silver lining what brands need to be coming back to. But the Mix name came from this idea of something that was about love and community. That's why it's M-I-X-X. Mm-hmm. And it's all about the right mix. It's about you know, always having it be customized and made just for you, whether it's a small project or a big project. And the name in and of itself stands for what it represents, but the love piece is very important. And then Titanium came to be, it was inspired by the song by Sia, right? We were looking, we're creating this holding company. What was the name? What are we going to call it? Because we're not going to be the one with the P or the W, right, or the, you know, those people.
Right.
But we wanted to come up with a name that was relevant. And then when Sia launched the song, Titanium, bulletproof, fire away, nothing will take me down, I am titanium. We were all like,
that's it.
Oh my God. And then we added the worldwide so we could be global, and we bought the URL and the name rights, et cetera, and the TM at the end. And so both these brands now have equity and ownership in the names. And now Hilton just launched a brand with Titanium Honors. Apple just launched a brand with Titanium 50. The 15th version, whatever it is. And so now all this traffic is coming to us.
Oh, so I love that.
We love those reasons for being, right? And those little ad moment gifts and karma. And so anyway, the importance and the value of a name, and then building a brand around that foundation, to me, is sometimes getting lost when we're coming to these conferences, because it's all about outlet and channel and what media. And I'm really showing up at these conferences now trying to kind of reignite the value and what a brand really means and represents. Mm-hmm. And like from a place of heart and the essence and like the pillars, and it's just so important. And I think, you know, we've lost sight of that.
That's such a great reminder to all brands.
Yes.
And products.
Yes.
Because sometimes we just forget that basic. And maybe on the product side, it's a little bit closer. But as big brands, we need to keep reinforcing and understanding what we do stand for.
Yes, couldn't agree more.
No, it's such a great, it's a really great
Thank
thought.
You.
Another topic we hear a lot about is data, measurement. How do we get our arms around the audiences? What are your thoughts on that today?
Yes, yes, and yes. I mean, we could not do what we do if we didn't have it. And there's just so many new ways to get it. So we are, I'd say, a little bit ahead of the curve in the AI conversation, because, you know, there is so much fear, as we've heard over the past
Sure.
2 days, and we don't have it as fear at all. We have it like a means of cost effectiveness, because we're using AI to get insights, and now we don't have to necessarily buy that report or get that white paper in order to find like that true nugget that we're looking for.
Right.
And we're using AI to kind of validate our like initial thinking about what the insight is, and then the strategy go forward, and then helping us to like generate a very strong brief the first time out, because without the data, it's just pretty pictures.
I heard someone recently say that AI shouldn't really stand for it. What it should stand for is added intelligence, which I thought was a very interesting interpretation. And that's really what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, right now we are relying on it so much so that, and you know, with leaner teams now, you need things to tell you what to do.
That's not going to change.
Exactly. And you want somebody to just give you the answer, and we have found this AI to be doing just that, and so we are all in.
You have tremendous amount of energy and obviously strong focus. When you look ahead now, what are you most excited about?
That's a good question. Well, I'm excited about 24 and stabilizing. I'm excited about my team's lifting up and still doing great work. Like I think like with stabilization, quality comes back, more certainty comes back. People aren't operating out of fear, out of not knowing, or what if, or oh my God. And like, that affects your work product. Sure it does. Affects your culture inside, and your clients are feeling it too, and it has like a domino effect. So I'm excited about a calming down, a taking a breath, and like, let's focus on growth and doing great work and getting back to what we love doing instead of being mired down with all this kind of negativity and fear and scarcity. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about this. I'm putting it out there because I want this to be infectious. It's kind of like anything. A good idea, I pass it to you, I give it to you, you take it, and now you share it with your friends, right. And then they have it. And I think like we could be starting a movement around positivity and creativity and purpose.
Well, we sure need it.
Oh, God. Yes.
So I'm going to pass on your energy because it's tremendous.
Thank you so much. It's so kind.
As we close, we have a campaign where we talk about that radio matters and radio works. So from your perspective, if you could finish the sentence, radio matters because?
It touches people in a way that sometimes is unexpected. And you listen to radio in a different way. It's not like reading an ad or seeing a TikTok or anything like that. It's a subconscious way of hearing a message, and sometimes you don't even realize that you're hearing it until you hear it again, and you'll be like, oh, I know I heard this somewhere, and then sometimes it doesn't even resonate the first, second, or third time. So I think radio is a platform that we don't have enough of, and we need a lot more of. So I'm so glad that you guys are doing what you're doing and keep on trucking and don't give up.
Well, we won't. And thank you for being on our team.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay.
Yay.
So great to meet you.
Both the Mix and Titanium Agency brands are grounded in love, resilience, and strength. Robin's mission is to implore marketers to reignite the value with what their brands mean and represent and live by it, which is a great reminder for all of radio's iconic collection of brands that inform and entertain consumers every single day.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.